Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. Got my handy dandy Gemini cup this morning. Sit back and relax and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above. Today is Thursday, October 15th, and it is a big day. We're on the cusp of an even bigger day as we roll through the astrology transits that are happening this week. So we actually have a lot to talk about today. And I know a lot of you might be expecting that I'm going to do some card readings. We'll see if I have the time to do that today after getting through all of this. And Asa will be taking that up for me when she checks in this morning. And I'm making sure I have Asa up on my phone. There we go. And please don't inundate her now with that request. She already has a couple of people that requested those that I didn't get to the other day. And likely if we roll through this information in time, I'll have time to maybe do a couple more extra ones than that. So here we are today. We have several different things that we're going to talk about. The first thing is the major aspect of the day, as the moon is not making any new aspects today that I could find. There are already aspects in play. And the biggest aspect of the day, in fact, the only aspect of the day is a big one, and that is the sun in a square to Pluto. And literally that kind of a transit represents the collective fear and shadow energies out there in the collective that are being taken in by each of us, and then our response or our reaction to those fears. So we're going to talk more about the sun square Pluto. Then we're also going to dive into the idea of fear through the gate 32, which is where the sun is sitting this week, which is the fear of failure. Right? The fear is failure. The gift is preservation. And the Siddhic state, the highest state, is veneration. And I'm going to talk to you about those through the perspective of the gene keys. That's likely going to take us quite a bit of time. And then, of course, we've got to look at the new moon, which we are sitting in the shadow of. Today is what we would call the dark of the moon, the balsamic part of the moon, where we are closing out a cycle and preparing for a new cycle. And if I'm not mistaken, we're also very close to doing the same thing in terms of the Pleiadian Earth energy, as today is the 12 seeing energy, followed by tomorrow's ascension energy of 13 intuiting, which also happens to be the day that Pia and Colin will be joining us here, right here in the morning show, to talk to us about the Pleiadian calendar and also any messages from Larkma that she wants to share with us tomorrow. So yay, right? We have a lot going on these next couple of days. An update before I jump into the rest of the talk today. As you know, I was wanting to set up a group for the Living Astrology community in my, I wanted to do this and I want to do it now, but I decided to hold off until after the new moon tomorrow, which means that then we have the energy of the new with us and I'm not starting something of major importance to me in the dark of that moon. So that group won't launch until tomorrow after 12:32 p.m. my time, Pacific time. Because that is when the moon will be new. So we're going with the flow, right? And going with the energy, we're living astrology, right? We know that the new moon is a great time to start something new. Today is not that day. I may be doing things behind the scenes with it, but we'll launch for all of you tomorrow afternoon. All right, so let me just take a quick good morning to everybody that's out there. And let's say hello to Mimi. Good morning to you. And Monique, good morning. Ingrid, hello. And we're happy to have you here with us as well. J-Lo, hello. Jennifer Peachy and Amy Energy. And I'm loving seeing all of you out there. Thank you, Asa, for showing up this morning and being there for us. Ursula says hi from Santa Cruz. Just a question, Ursula. How's it going out there? Have the fires died back? Are you guys doing better over in that part of the world? I know my husband has been waiting for some bicycle parts and they come from Santa Clara or Santa Cruz. I cannot remember which one of the Santas there in Northern California. And it's been delayed over and over again because of fires and evacuations. And of course, COVID hasn't helped any. So crazy times we live in, huh? All right. So good morning if you're just popping in. So today we're going to talk about the sun squaring Pluto. So the sun is sitting today at about 22 degrees of Libra, and that puts it in a square to Pluto that is sitting at 22 degrees of Capricorn in our Capricorn bunch. So literally the sun squaring Pluto is also triggering Jupiter, is also triggering Saturn, is also triggering the asteroid Pallas Athena. So we have a conglomeration of different aspects here going on, sort of these rays, if you will, these strings or threads from the sun connecting to our planets in Capricorn via the square, which, as you know, from listening to the different aspects that we talk about here on the morning show, is a challenging aspect and tends to trigger us or bring up things that are that we interpret as obstacles and perhaps limitations or reasons why we can't go where we want to go or do what we want to do, a la fear, right? And then here we are sitting as well with the sun transiting in your human design chart through the gate 32, which is on the spleen center, which is a fear or paralysis kind of center. It's meant to keep us surviving through and being able to evolve. But it is an energy that often triggers the fear in us first, fears about not surviving, right? So let's look at the sun square Pluto, and then we're going to take a deeper look into the Gene Key 32. So the sun square Pluto brings fear to the surface. It's like bubbling up. Think of like a mud pool, or I'm thinking of the La Brea tar pits in Los Angeles. If you've ever been there, it's an extraordinary place in the middle of this huge metropolitan area. Are these tar pits that are of ancientness, and they bubble, and periodically as you walk by, you can see the bubbles rising to the surface, bubbles of tar related to the ancient seabed that was there at one point in time. So we have these bubbling places within us of fear that might be cropping up to the surface, and anything that's been buried, like buried motivations, buried fear, buried anything that, you know, we've repressed or oppressed, coming up to the surface now. Not to punish us, but this is a very delicate time. We're kind of perched on this balance, this crux in our cycle of time, where if we don't start really releasing all of the fear, right, that it's going to continue in its place. It's like we've created this giant bubble of fear around this planet. And literally all we need to do is pop it, and whoosh, we can let go of fear once and for all, right? But that takes each of us as an individual to deal with what it is that's coming up. What part of us is participating in the fear field, the fear energy of the planet? So all of those buried things may be coming up, and likely this didn't just start today. This could have been building over the last several days. As, remember, the sun was in a square to Jupiter and now in a square to Pluto, and later in the week will be in a square to Saturn. So these things are coming up over time. It's not like a big rush. You're not getting a bum's rush of fear, but maybe you are. It depends on how much fear is sitting in your field. So today it's coming up to the surface, and it triggers us. It triggers us to distrust ourselves, maybe to distrust others, to be suspicious or have a doubt about things that are happening, about our own lives, about our own skills, about our own, you name it, right? And it pushes, this is a transit that's pushing us as humans, as humanity, to find its buried power. So we're all being pushed not to bring up fear just to make you wrong or to upset you, but to help you find your true power, the capital T truth, right? The true power from a strong sense of self and not something superficial. This isn't a superficial sort of thing. The sun, of course, represents our ego, our personality, what we're here to do, our life purpose, how it is maybe we're here to share of our gifts and our talents. But Pluto stores, he's the storehouse of the underworld of all of the things that we don't want to see. right? Anything that we don't want to see that we push down, and likely that's fear or baggage or experiences or anything, you know, traumas and dramas, we push that down. And then the sun comes along in a square and challenges us to bring it up, release it, let it go, right? Let it go. But we can only do that when we grab into our inner self, onto our inner power, right? Your inner power, not superficial, but that strength that's within, right? It's kind of like when the sun was moving through the gate 48 and we were deeping, we were going into the deepness inside the well, right? The resources that we hold within. Now, during this time, we can feel pressure. We can feel pressure to change, but we can also feel the pressure to try to make things happen. And I'm going to tell you that this isn't the time to do that, right? This is not the time for you to push. This is the time for you to allow and then move through whatever it is that's coming up to the surface, not in a judgmental way, not in a beating yourself up kind of way, but in an eyes wide open, embracing everything that's happening so that you can walk through and out of this energy, clear of the fear, clear the fear. So no pushing of the river today. That means we can also have feelings of doubt and suspicion. I think I said this, paranoia coming up to the surface. Don't allow it to take you out. Just sit with that. Be with that energy. Be with that fear. Sit with it for a minute, invite it in, discover what it has as meaning to you. And it could be a fear that you have personally. It could be a fear of something that's going on in the outer world, but sit with that because the sun's light in that part of the chart helps us get rid of it, helps us release it, love it out of existence, right? And, or love it into ourselves enough to be able to say, that's just a part of my experience here. And then going on, right? It's not something that needs to take you out. So question to all of you, what kind of fears have been coming up for you? For me, it has been a lot of the financial type of things, right? Remember my letter from the IRS and my bank account or my husband's card linked to the bank account getting hacked. Earlier in the month, my Instagram account was hacked. There's this, you know, fear of my identity being released out into the world. And what does that mean? Oh my God, I don't know. I might be seen. Who knows what the fear really is, but I'm willing to sit with it and have a conversation. Let's have some coffee or some tea and talk about it. Let's see if it's something that's true. Is it a true fear? Am I about to be, you know, killed? Am I about to be hurt? Or is it, you know, just that fear that all of that is going to happen? So let's take a look out here. I want to see what you guys are experiencing as fears in your lives. J-Lo says she's manifesting prosperity. Woohoo. Good morning, Marjorie Roth. Good to hear you or see you anyway from Virginia, it looks like. Kathleen Mallory, good morning to you. Adrian Jones, hola. And Ursula says the air is so much better right now. I'm grateful for each blue sky morning. And Santa Clara is over the hill from us in Silicon Valley. And I think that's actually where the bicycle place is, but I couldn't swear to that. Debbie Tippett's Tumiel, good morning, sweetheart. And Sylvester, hello. Grand Rising people, sending love and positive vibes your way. Send some healing energy for me. I had a kidney biopsy yesterday. Everything in every day in every way, I am getting better and better. I love that, Sylvester. And we are, of course, sending you tons of love and healing energy. And we just know that whatever it is that you're being held in the highest of love and light. Debbie Tibbetts says, sending positive healing. I love it. Everybody's just sending you prayers and all of that, Sylvester. So Asa sending love, Ursula sending love, Christine sending it. I love it. Love it. Andy girl, good morning to you. And, all right. So nobody's sharing their fears. Is that because you haven't found them yet? Are you not being triggered in some way? Or maybe you want to share that privately, but if you are experiencing them, please put them in there. Because, you know, if we share what we are afraid of, it's amazing how easy it is to just pop through it. You know why? Because the fear energy in our body template sits on the spleen. And the spleen center, not literally in your spleen, but on the spleen center in the human design chart. And the spleen represents time as well as fear. And so time in the spleen is in the now. So when we address something like fear in the now, it goes poof, right? It just sort of goes away. So, or dissipates, or shows us something, right? Some kind of gift or something. So in the moment, we have a fear and we face that fear, it can be released out of our field. Good morning, Sadie, back there behind me. Leilani says, a fear of men. Ah, Puffing Pixie, healing wishes to you, Sylvester. Awesome. Asa, fear of not being seen for my true worth. Now, a fear of men. I don't know if that's a true one, Leilani, or one you're just, you know, it says LOL. So I don't know if it's for real or what, but you know, for me, looking at that, it makes me wonder about what you fear about the masculine side of your own self, right? The masculine energy, because we're all a combination of the feminine and the masculine. And it's interesting because Pallas Athena, who keeps, you know, I keep glossing over here, but she's also in the midst of this Capricorn bunch right now, has been trying to create freedom for us in being able to move through our masculine and move through our feminine energy. So what is it that triggers you about men who may be stand-ins for the masculine energy for it, for you personally? And what does that mean for you? And Asa, fear of not being seen for my true worth. Well, do you see your true worth? That would be the great way to look at that. What is my true worth? Do I really see that in me or not? Some of you out there who have open identity centers, and most of you out there who have open ego or will centers, might not see your worth so easily, right? So you have to really see what's being reflected to you from the people around you. If the people around you are not reflecting that you are loved and lovable and worthy, then you got to change up those people, right? You got to change up those people and get around people who do show you your worth and your lovability. So there's that. Leilani says, it's true, but I must have a sense of humor about it. Too much trauma from men. So allowing yourself to go into that wound there, right? Just not to re-experience the different wounds, but what in conglomeration do they mean for you, right? That's the thing. We have to be willing to do this. We really do. We can't just keep holding it back there and not wanting to look at it, because then it holds power. A part of our power is locked up in the fear. So we have to release ourselves from that fear and move forward fearlessly. All right, there we go. Kathleen says she's facing the fear of communication. Interesting, Kathleen. I think a lot of people face that fear, right? Because they've been shut down before when they've opened up their heart or their voices to something. So that's a great one to dive into. Maybe you have an open throat in your human design, and an open throat often wants to speak and be heard. But the more they try to speak, the less they get recognized. So an open throat is silent until invited in to speak. And then it's like everybody's ears suddenly hear what you have to say, and you become valued, heard, and recognized. And even if you have a defined throat, it's the third center down, it would be a brown square on your human design, or it will be white. Even with a defined square or one that is colored in, you still work best when your thoughts or your opinions or your ideas, things that you want to express, are drawn out of you via an invitation. So keep that in mind, but definitely face that fear. We all support you all, Kathleen, Leilani, and Asa, and Mimi. We're going to look at hers too here to see what's going on there. We all support you in this process. You are supported in this process. Puffing Pixie, healing wishes to you, Sylvester. I love it. Mimi, most every night I release that which no longer serves me for the highest good. Tis better to keep the release going than to allow it to build up. Awesome, right? That could be a part of our spiritual practice, right? Remember this week we had Jupiter sextile Neptune, and that was about building on the spiritual practices that we started last year, perhaps with the Saturn sextile Neptune. So making that a part of your everyday spiritual practice to release what no longer serves, and allowing the space then for more good to come in. I love that, Mimi. Thank you for sharing that. Did I miss something there? There are many things I'm afraid of right now. Kathleen Mallory says, good, 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 good. Time to let him go. Christine, fear of prolonged hermitude lately. Hermitage. So you're thinking of maybe the second line in your human design. I'm not sure what yours is, but if you have the second line gets called out. There's an energy force field, if you will, around the two energy that doesn't allow for you to stay in withdrawal for that long. But of course, we all have free will, so we can always shut that off. But I would encourage you to understand why it is that you might want to be hiding, that you're hermiting. What is that about? Okay. Asa, Christine, I got that. Ursula, fear of being judged if I step out with my fullness and majesty. I can hear my mom saying, who do you think you are? Oh, shrink, shrink, shrink. Well, partly, Ursula, you know, you've got the 33 in your north node, which I kind of discussed with you in the email yesterday that I sent you back. And that's a gate of privacy. And it is a bit of a withdrawal, right? You withdraw a little bit from the lights and the glitz and the glamour of the world. But you have a story to tell, right? You have an experience to share, and you need to be able to bring that out. That's an interesting fear, by the way, because it matches something that my mother said to me one time about my intelligence and about my ability to speak. And it was, you think you're better than everybody else. And I was like, maybe that's not such a good thing. And I'm 8 years old at the time, right? Or seven, something like that. And so I shrink myself, right? I make myself more invisible or smaller because I don't want other people to think that I'm too big for my britches or whatever, you know, verbiage she actually used. So that might be a powerful fear for all of us, including me, to get through at this moment in time, because we are here to shine our light as bright as possible. The more of us that shine our light as bright as possible, the more we move this world, transform this world into the light, right? So Ursula, we'll step behind you on that one and support you through it. Andy, I can so relate. I bet there's a lot of people that can relate to that one. Asa, hi Andy, let's find another new 2020 message to tell ourselves. We are the light. We are the light, right? That's a good message. Kathleen Mallory has a defined throat. So maybe there are lessons here about communication, and we could do certainly a human design reading and maybe find that out for you. Monique, a fear of abandonment. Oh my goodness, that is definitely a big fear. That is one of the core fears of humanity, right, is abandonment, that we're doing things that aren't really true to us so that people will love us or keep us. They won't abandon us. And the only thing that you can really do here with that is to realize you are so much more than what other people think about you or whether other people want to stay with you or not. Hug yourself, right? That you're never abandoned. You are always whole, healed, and healthy. You are always all that you need to be in every moment. So keep telling yourself that one. Ursula, fear of dying, another core belief. And we're actually going to go into that one with the gene key, fear of failure. Leilani, sending you healing. Everybody needs that, right? Someone I have been talking to for a few months was to fly in yesterday, and I was at the airport, but he didn't show. So that triggered your fear of abandonment. And maybe, you know, ask the question, what is the worst fear you have about why he didn't show? Because he's abandoning you? Because he doesn't love you? Because he doesn't want you? Because you're not good enough? Go down the line and see where that is. And if he didn't show, maybe he's doing you a favor because he's not good enough for you. Or maybe something happened. Maybe he missed his flight. Maybe he missed a connector. Who knows, right? But don't tell the story based in the fear. Tell the story about what it is showing you here in the moment. Change the story, right? So I'm interested to hear how that one comes out. Sylvester, sending love and motivation. We all can release our fears and step into the light. Take it one day at a time. Thank you, Sylvester, for saying that. That's so important. Know that you are at a sanctuary where you can share and not be judged. Absolutely. All right, let's take a little deeper dive into fear for a moment. I actually opened a file this morning, and in it, I had all of these lessons that I had taught on the gene keys over the last couple of years. I think it's probably been a couple of years since I actually did this particular one, or maybe it was a year ago, I'm not sure. So if this sounds familiar to some of you, it's because we've talked about this before. If it's new material for some of you and you have questions, please feel free to put those into the chat. So we're going to be talking about fear because we are sitting here today with the sun at a square to Pluto, which is triggering that fear, bringing it up to the surface for us to look at. And we are also with the sun at the gate 32 for the rest of the week, which means we're looking at the fear of failure. So where does that fear of failure come from? Have you ever asked that question to yourself? Why are we afraid that something we do isn't going to work out? Well, it's because the fear of failure today is the collective fear packaged up in a new way that we won't survive as a species. Again, it has a link way back to our earlier time in our evolution where we had to gather together, right? We had to come together. We survived winter, or we survived hard times by bonding, by coming together. We increased our chances for survival when we came together as a tribe, or we came together as a family, right? So the more people that bonded together in our tribes or in our communities left us without isolation, because one of the fears that we have that might even be the trigger for the fear of abandonment is that of being isolated, right? Isolation equaled death. Right? If you were an isolated human being without your fellow human beings at that time, watching your back, as it were, or helping to feed everybody, then it could have been death. And then the fear then could be also that the community won't survive, right? Our tribe or our family will die, that will lose genetic heritage. So deep in our genes is this primal fear that drives us to continually do the things that are going to help us survive. But what we didn't see is that that's from a fear that we won't survive. And there are some core survival issues for us as women and for men, right? The most deepest fear for women is that a fear of not giving birth or not finding a mate, which is then tied also to the fear of the dying off of your family line or your family lineage. Now, I'm not saying that all women need to go out and have babies and marry and have a family. It's not that at all, but think about the fear underneath that maybe your family has shown you if you're a single woman, or, you know, the pressure that can be put upon you to have babies, right? You know, your mom wants a grandbaby kind of thing. For men, it's the fear of infertility, the inability to have offspring. So these are core ancient fears that are the beginnings of our fear for survival. Now, today, of course, we're out of touch kind of with those fears, with those primal fears of survival, right? I don't worry that I'm going to not have food to eat in the winter because I can go to the grocery store to get the food, right? I'm not worried that there's a scarcity of game or that the, you know, flowers aren't blooming or producing, you know, fruit or vegetables because I can go get them, right? We've built up that ability to survive that way. Today, mostly in the West and in the developing world, we are sort of triggering fear because we don't have strong family, tribal, or community structures that support us, right? And there are people out there who do worry about where their next meal is coming from, that maybe don't have a home or don't have a roof over their head. In very ancient times, in our more tribal lineage, nothing like that would happen. Right? There would always be a place. There would always be food, right? The tribe took care of the tribe. And they recognized at an early time that they were only as strong as their weakest links. So now modern world doesn't have this sort of structure of tribe and community so much anymore. And so the fear now revolves around money. It's a financial thing. All of the world, the modern world, revolves around money. And our fear of survival then is projected outward onto money. How much you have, how much you don't have, how much is in the bank, how much are your bills? What can you buy in terms of toys? And can you pay your house payment this month? Can you pay your power bill this month? So much of our fear of failure now lies within our body, linked to money or the lack of it, right? And or your earning power, your ability to attract enough resources to you. So this shadow, this fear drives our modern world, and it keeps us at the lower frequencies, the shadow frequencies, the fears. And right now is such an important time because all of them are coming to the surface. Check in with yourself. Where is your fear of not surviving? Right? Is it from health? Is it from money? Is it from relationship? Is it from any kind of societal pressure? Is it from career? All different kinds of places where you can look. So this fear, this shadow of in the modern world gives rise to individuals who are competing for instead of coming together and pooling resources. So we've turned into two-year-olds where we don't want to share of our resources. Right? We see it in the government. We see it where we have people that want to cut off aid to other people, right? That we see where we don't want to pay for XYZ, right? We think that those weakest links should get off their asses and get out there and do what they need to do to have money, right? That's an attitude that is born out of the fear, the collective fear of not surviving that has been projected outward onto money. Now let's look at fear in competition, because that's another big deal here in our lives, in our modern world. Your desire to have a bigger house, a faster car is actually born out of the collective field of the fear, right? The competition, fear and competition, the fear of failure and competition. Somehow success has gotten all mucked up and is a reflection of what you have, instead of who you are, right? So what you have, big car or fast car, expensive car, a house, bigger house, better neighborhood, better place to live, right? And a bigger bank balance, right? Thousands of dollars, millions maybe, much better than to have just enough, right? Why? Because that means we're better, right? We're better. And in the competition, I'm winning. Right? I'm winning, but really all I'm doing is using things to hold the fear of not surviving at bay. Am I truly any happier because I have more things, because I have a bigger bank account, or am I just kind of toilet papering over that, right? I'm just sort of covering it all up so I don't see it. Right now we have today Sun square Pluto bringing this up for us. Money has then become the great symbol of success in our modern world. And money is only an exchange of energy, a means to exchange energy. So we have ourselves all tied up, our fears and our idea of success all tied up in, say, in money, right? Or a symbol of being successful, which is money. So failure really means one thing. Isolation, right? Being isolated. We've isolated from one another. And interesting, right? With COVID virus, what have we all been doing? Isolating. Stay home, stay healthy, wear a mask, isolate, right? Have you ever tried smiling at little kids in the grocery store now? They don't know you're smiling. They don't, I mean, I suppose your eyes do show some of that emotion of happiness or smiling. But we've become, with wearing masks, and I'm not saying you shouldn't wear masks, but with masks, the whole of our being isn't being shown, right? So you may be smiling because of the cuteness of this little kid in the shopping cart, but that little kid doesn't see that. He just sees this, you know, from your nose up. and your eyes can, you know, smile, certainly. But there isn't the whole picture that of being embraced, of being loved, of being, you know, worthy. We've isolated ourselves from Mother Earth, right? Look, one after another, protections for the earth are being dismantled right now, right? Allowing drilling in the Arctic, where we know that is going to create havoc. You name the water protections and those are being dismantled. You name the air protections and those are being dismantled. And again, we are creating a situation where we have isolated ourselves from the natural cycles and the natural world. Money is a game, right? Money is a game and it is an illusion and a scam. It is the repackaging of survival fear and it feeds our ancient fears, right? Not having enough money means you're not going to be able to buy groceries, which means you're not going to be able to pay your rent or your house payment. And it goes on and it keeps triggering more and more fear. And no matter how much you earn or inherit or have enough, the fear is there until you turn around and look at it and realize what it is. If we eliminated money, the fear would find a new way to express itself. So I'm not saying that money is bad. I'm just saying it's the latest projection of our fear of survival, right? The fear itself is what we need to solve, not the money problem, so to speak. The money, really, the problem here is really just showing you where we're out of sync, where we have a true fear of survival. So true success in the world, right? Success being the opposite of failure would be when we are no longer ruled by the concept of success or failure. Our increased consciousness has to be what drives us in that new direction, right? Our personal increase in consciousness plays to and elevates everybody's consciousness, right? The consciousness, a higher consciousness, releases us from fear. When we no longer feel the need to react to what's happening in a negative way. So we get to be stingy and competitive or loving and giving, right? Are we into survival or are we thriving and flourishing, right? Two great words, thriving and flourishing. Failure is only an outcome when you're cut off from the whole, right? When you cut yourself off from the world, when you cut yourself off from your tribe, your family, your community, that's when you feel isolated. That's when you feel failure the most. Now, there are two ways to express the fear of failure. In the Gene Keys, Richard Rudd calls it the repressed version of the fear or of the shadow. And then there's also the more reactive fear or expression of the fear. So I want to go through that quickly. The repressed fear of failure is fundamentalism. The fundamentalist, that his words, fundamentalist. This is where we get into extreme conservation. We are very constricted. We are pulling in. We deeply are contracting into ourselves, manifesting the more repressive energies and our more fearful nature. We're basically choking ourselves off from right? The physical world, the emotional world, the financial world, all different kinds of the physical, mental, emotional, all of that. We're isolating ourselves into tight cult-like groups or communities and in the repressed expression of the fear. And it could be characterized by paranoia, suspicion, doubt, all of that type of things that we talked about already with the sun square Pluto today, right? Where these things could be coming up naturally. And that may be showing you where you have the repressed fear, right? The repressed fear. Now the reactive fear, the more, you know, rebellious aspect of that fear would be disjointedness, anger, nothing to support you but you. Right? You've seen people like that. I never get any support. So they build all these walls around themselves because they're the only ones they need. And they refuse to interact with the world, right? They build the walls that drives them to do self-destruction, right? To self-destructive patterns. They've lost touch with the flow, with the continuity of life. So nothing seems to go smoothly for them. Everything's a battle, right? Everything's a battle because they've cut themselves off from source, from others, right? People who are in the reactive state make decisions without following the flow, which further cuts them off from the community, from source, right? So those are the two ways that fear can positively or negatively pick up. Now, the gift level of fear, of the fear of failure, is called preservation. And this is where we get to see beyond fear-based thinking, what lies beyond fear-based thinking, sensing the long-term picture in all things and in all situations, right? Right here in this moment, things are this way, but long-term, things are going to change. Because why? The only thing we can know for sure is change, transformational energy, which is also a part of the channel that the Gate 32, the fear of failure is at or is in. It's part of that whole channel. So we might be sensing the long-term in our investing, in our relationships, in balancing risks, right? Restraining when it's time to restrain and flowing when it's time to flow. When we are in the not self-preservation, but the preservation of life, right? The preservation for all of us when we're making decisions that preserve life, not just me. And when we are able to assess the past, weed out the weaknesses, build upon the strengths, and link us to the natural rhythm, cycles, and timings of the universe. Nature, right? Nature is our basic cycle that we've gotten out of sync with, right? The natural cycles of time, the natural cycles of conservation and good stewardship versus when it's time to be more growth oriented and expansive. We've gotten out of sync with that. The siddhic state or the siddhi is veneration. Veneration, such a great word that, you know, sometimes I just have to keep going deeper into these words. That this is when fear has been entirely transcended. The negative patterns like anger, like fear, like guilt are transformed into a positive force, which we all have the power to do, right? Simply by raising the frequency of this gene key, of this in your own template, and putting it into the service for the whole, right? Sharing your gifts, sharing your talents, showing up, right? Showing up every day. Even if you're in that hermit state, you're still showing up and doing, creating, being a force for good, right? Being a force for giving and receiving, serving. All the way, all the gene keys, by the way, are outlining a process for us as humans to move through the fear, to elevate by elevating to the gift, and then ultimately to the city. Notice we usually say it like, so in this particular gene key, it's the fear of failure, right? Failure, preservation, veneration. So we're moving from the fear of failure to veneration through preservation, right? So it puts a lot of focus on our moving to the gift level, because we can't necessarily, I suppose we could reach it from the shadow, right? But it, to make it sustainable, we need to move through the energy of the gift through preservation. So all of the gene keys show us where we are progressively transforming by putting our lives into service, right? By using all of the gifts and the talents that we have out in the world to be a force for good. Veneration occurs when fear burns away, when there's no more anger, when there's no more survival fear, where we burn that away. And when you, veneration occurs when you see yourself as part of the spiral of evolution, not separate from it. And you see down the spiral and you can see up the spiral without judging what you see, right? You're only looking on with awe and wonder as the world turns, right? As the experiences keep coming. Veneration is when you see the interdependency of all life, not that only human interest, right? It's all, it's earth interest, it's global interest, right? We can't just be concerned with what happens here in our state or in our city or in our little community or in our country. We have to be concerned with the bigger picture, with how all affects all, how there's a global interdependency of all life. Do you think if we lose the polar bears that isn't going to hurt humans somewhere, right? Every species that goes extinct has an effect on the whole, not just the one part, because we've all evolved together on this planet, right? So veneration, we can get to feeling both tiny and huge at the same time, seeing ourselves as just this little speck, but also the awe and the magnificence of who we all are, the importance of each living thing, even the little caterpillars that I drive over so I don't have to smash them, right? I drive around them or I straddle them so that they can live to get to the other side of the road. Why they're taking that trip, I don't know, right? But they are, and I am going to do my part to try to allow them to get there. Veneration will occur when there's no more separation left, only the one light fueled by spirit, through spirit. When we see the light in one another and not just the judgment of, oh, she's not good enough, he's so mean, he's ugly, she's great, blah, 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 right? When we don't see that anymore. And veneration will be achieved when we have reverence for all life, right? For all people, for all plants, for all minerals, for all animals, for literally all life, right? All right. So I didn't mean to get so prophetic in there today. Questions, comments, what's going on out there? I hear your silence, but I also hear your in-breaths. Christine, Gaia is not happy with the powers that be and that ruin her. Well, again, though, I don't want us to be judging, beating ourselves up for what's happening or what's happened. It has happened, right? It was a part of our learning experience. It's a part of the evolution of consciousness on the planet. So in that, there's something important for us all. But what we need to understand is how we really do have that interdependency with all of us, right? That what I do is important. That when I pick up that piece of trash that I see blowing in the wind and put it in its proper place, that has an impact. Even the smallest little thing has an impact, right? Cosmic Calibri, hello. She says, thanks for your wisdom. How do you deal with the fear of change? Feeling that has been too much, changing flow, going from project to project. Change is a part of our reality. It's really the only stable thing that we have. The only stable thing we have is change. That all life is changing, that everything is changing. And you just have to learn to go with that flow. Ask yourself what the fear is of change. What is that? What's driving that? What in your life experience has brought you to fear that things are going to transform and change? You know, some people are in their human design, they're born with the foundation energy of the four, right? So there's partly a four that's a foundation energy. And they like stability. They like that calm, predictable, everyday stability. So they're the ones that get most upset when life changes. And ultimately, life always changes, right? There's always changes. We get older every day. Eventually, your body changes, right? Every day, there's a new thought, new energy coming in. Life changes, right? So it changes just there, right? We can't change into non-change, because then we don't evolve, we don't grow, we don't expand. Christine Buckingham, truth, all interconnected indeed. So then we have Leilani, that's so sweet, more snails out of the driveway. I'm so bad about that, right? So even bees and wasps that get into my house, I have a special cup with a piece of cardboard that I can catch the bee or the wasp in, put the cardboard over the top, take them outside and release them. And even spiders, I will do this too, because I just don't feel like I need to kill something just because it scares me, right? I don't feel the need to do that. So I will go out of my way, or as much as I can out of my way, to save a creature. I don't kill it. I even feel it when, gosh, what was it last week? Somebody was chainsawing. And now I don't know if it's because a tree fell because of the winds we had, or if somebody is just clearing their land, but I feel it every time I hear a chainsaw, I feel the pain of the tree. And that just kills me, right? So I get how we're interconnected. If you've ever watched Avatar and you've seen toward the end of the movie how the web of life interconnects them all, and how when that tree falls because of the idiocy of humanity, the going after resources, how they all feel it viscerally, right? It's the web of life. It's how we're all interconnected. Adrian Jones, feeling all of this and appreciate you going there. We forget that we ourselves are nature. Yes, our bodies are part of her and her body is part of us. We are not separate. And that's true, true, true. Catch and release program on spiders. Empathy, mosquitoes biting are an exception. I would say that if something was biting me, I would definitely probably swat it away. Or if I slapped at it and killed it, that would be, you know, me preserving myself. I'm certainly not going to welcome in those wasps to light on me and see if they're going to bite me or sting me. Nope, not doing that, which is why I have a cup that I put them in and then I put them outside. But yeah, that's a different story, right? Leilani, same Janet, we have hearts of gold. It's just because I feel the pain of other creatures, of other people, of even, you know, what we think of as an inanimate object, a tree. But to me, a tree is a living, breathing, sentient being. And I don't even like it when people pick up rocks from the beach without first asking the consciousness of that rock, is it okay for me to move you? I'm weird that way, but I just feel like there's something alive in everything, even those objects to us that look unalive as a rock or a piece of mineral, that kind of thing. So there's an interconnected web, I believe, from everything that's here on the planet. Okay, shall we take a quick look at the new moon? Oh God, it's 8:51 already. So how about this? We'll defer the new moon until tomorrow. And the moon happens in the afternoon, so we can talk about it in the moon, or in the moon, in the morning. It is a life-changing and transforming new moon. So be prepared, right? There are T-squares in the new moon. There's a lot of high energy in that moon. It's happening on a 13 Pleiadian day where we are already ascending, right? We're moving through into a new week, a 13-day week. So to me, it's just perfect timing for us to move through fear and to let go of the things that are no longer serving us. Now, cards, readings. Not at all weird. The Colors of the Wind is a great Disney song. Ah, I love that song. Disney did some good shows for a while there. I haven't watched any of the more recent ones, but and I'm sure they're good too, but they had such great messages. And, you know, often I think that Disney movies, even though they're made for children, are more about the adults, right? And the reminder to the adults that you're out of sync with life and this is how you get back. and teaching our children right from the get-go that we want to have that energy in our lives. So Sylvester, a card of my choice, Marissa and her daughter. I don't have her daughter's name, so I won't do a reading for someone that I don't know and that I don't have a permission to, right? And I don't see Marissa out there today. Is she? Marissa, if you're there, check in with us so we know. Sylvester, my choice of cards. I'm going to give you an Oracle of the Seven Energies card. So let's go there. Oracle of the Seven Energies, and maybe an angel to guide you to. Okay, open up. Okay, Sylvester, this is for you. And I'd love it if you are newish out there and you have not had a card reading before, if you would pipe in. So many of you get readings every week, which I love, don't get me wrong, but if there are new people who have not gotten readings before, I'd like to see them first. So there we go. Sylvester, healing the heart. Hold on, let me go over here to Zoom. Right, healing the heart. And bring it in, that's card number 23, which is a five. And am I not? Yeah, healing the heart. Okay, so let's see what that card means for you. Healing the heart is 23. And it is in the energy four which is love, love energy, compassion, love, community, forgiveness, unconditional acceptance, inner peace, and wholeness. That's the, remember there's seven energies here. This is the fourth energy, love. So healing the heart. Key concepts are about healing, making amends, the willingness to release past pain, being responsible and accountable, taking time to get healthy, renewal and rebirth after suffering. This is a perfect card for you. When you are wounded emotionally, you need time to regroup and find your center. You may have recently endured a breakup, a betrayal, lost someone close to you, or lost an affiliation that gave you too much power, that you gave too much power to. Perhaps you're watching someone go through a difficult time and feel bad that you can't help them. Maybe you're still not over a past disagreement. No matter the cause of this heartache, deep healing is called for. This happens on its own timetable and can never be rushed. The path to healing the heart centers on reciprocity, the flow of giving and receiving. Sometimes wounding occurs because we've become too dependent on another, and this is accompanied by the desire to manipulate or control an outcome. Both wounding and healing usually begin within, not from the outer conditions of our life. We often believe that we can be wounded only by others, but we do more damage to ourselves in the self-sabotaging way we think and behave. It is important to take steps to heal yourself and become willing to release the pain of the past, which can be tempting to revisit. It's time to take responsibility for your part in this healing journey. Look for ways you can help yourself and others. Are you willing to make amends if needed? Or conversely, accept someone where they are without trying to influence their growth process? Healing the heart in all aspects is your priority now. Nothing else matters. Only beauty and goodness will come as the result. I think that's awesome. And I also just got a hit that I need to pull you an angel card as well, Sylvester. And then an angel on your shoulder, hugging you. Do the work. Do the work, Sylvester. Do the work. That's an interesting card, I think. Do the work. Let's see. I don't know if we've had this one before, but it sounds familiar. So let's see. Do the work, your message. If you are wondering whether to move forward or not, this card is a message from your angels to continue on. You might feel that your current situation requires more time and energy than you are able to give, and there's a good chance that you are feeling disheartened or even drained. It's important to know that everything involved in the situation is pivotal to your growth, expansion, and spiritual connection. This card invites you to switch on the light you have within. It's time to be a star, to rise up, to get behind the wheel and drive the journey of your life. Yes, energy is going to be needed to hustle and push, but every single effort you make will pay off. Right now, you are sending out a signal that you will create a wave that can lay the foundation for the rest of your life. Woohoo! The extended message says being spiritual isn't always easy. It comes with a price, and often that price is time and effort. That is why angels call it light work, because we have to work our light. This isn't spiritual easy. This isn't spiritual vacation. This is spiritual work, and that does mean we have to work. Action, effort, surrender, and trust are needed for things to come together. But when this card appears, you have an important opportunity to figure out the balance between effort and effortlessness and understand when both of these energies need to move through your being. If you want to abandon a project or walk away from a situation, this card is letting you know that you are needed more than ever. This isn't the time to run away. This is the time to turn up. When you show up ready and willing to do the work, you will move up too. Do the work, Sylvester, and let us all support you in doing your spiritual work, because we all get uplifted in the process. I love that. Okay, who is next, Missy? Sylvester, Marissa, and her daughter, Cosmic Calibri card reading. How can she fulfill her purpose? Who's new out here who hasn't had a reading here? Kathleen Mallory, I think you have not had one. Liz Schultz, first time here. Awesome. So we do have a couple of people. Kathleen Mallory, my choice. You need a dragon, Kathleen. You need a dragon, a power to find your voice, to communicate. But let's see what the dragons have in mind for you. Okay. Kathleen Mallory. Oh, gosh, this one just kind of came in and turned itself upside down and said, bring me. A lilac fire dragon transmutes through the power of divine love. Open up to transcendent love and enlightenment. Purity of heart brings peace, hope, and joy. The lilac fire dragon. Lilac, pretty color. All right, so lilac fire dragon, let's see what that means. Page 44. Asa, is this not one of the cards that you got for your birthday? I think it is. I love it. Okay, so transmutes through the power of divine love. Open up to transcendent love and enlightenment. Purity of heart brings peace, hope, and joy. These dragons are fifth dimensional. However, they can reach up into the ninth dimension to access the awesome lilac fire of source, which is a new energy recently graced to earth. This carries transcendent love as well as enlightenment. When these dragons pour their lilac fire over and through us, we are bathed in divine feminine light, which has the power to dissolve all lower energies in pure love and bring us peace, hope, and joy. It also bathes us in the higher divine feminine qualities of wisdom, agape, and oneness. Having this energy in our aura may even allow us to experience bliss and ecstasy. When you choose this card, a lilac fire dragon will touch you with incredible ninth dimensional light. So call it in and ask it to touch you. As it approaches you, breathe in divine love and sense the lilac fire enveloping you. This will enable you to let go of the old easily, calmly, and graciously. Notice particularly how you feel when this dragon touches you and sense the purity of love that it radiates. Ask this dragon to remain with you, to anchor the glorious light of the lilac fire and take you into a new and illumined way of being. When you do this, the love radiating from your heart will become purer and more beautiful. People will sense this and respond with trust, respect, and gratitude. Consciously work with this beautiful dragon and notice the difference it makes to your life and the quality of love around you. There you go, Kathleen, the lilac fire dragon. Beautiful. Now, remember, those of you who are listening to this that are in the background here with me live, or those of you who listen to this later via podcast or who see it on Facebook later, these card readings that seem to be for Kathleen or for Sylvester also are about you, because we're all linked in this. We are all one. So these messages might be singing to your own heart, right? And to your own beingness. Okay. So Liz Schultz and Amy D are both new. So Liz says my choice, and so does Amy. So Liz Schultz, Liz. Okay. So Liz, I'm getting for you a Galactic Heritage card. The Galactic Heritage cards are taking us to our star families, right? The first and only of its kind. And it's by Alyssa Royal Holt. And these are often very profound card readings as well, as our cosmic brothers and sisters like to help us, you know, go through the things as we're evolving through things that they may have already evolved through. Oh, gosh, they just jump out at me sometimes. So for you, Liz Schultz, long-term goals. This is Sirius of the Past, card number 45, which is a 9. That's bringing you into some form of completion, some form of ending, using intuition. But let's see what the card says about long-term goals. Doesn't sound very sexy, but I bet it's very important, especially with all of the planetary energy that we have in Capricorn and Mars in retrograde, which was having us review, reimagine, revisit our goals and our dreams, right? Our desires. All right, 45, long-term goals. The long-term goals of the Syrians lasted for generations and spanned thousands of earth years. This required extreme focus, discipline, and dedication. Many people who had Syrian lifetimes still retain this ability to focus and carry out long-term projects. Use this pattern as a skill that can benefit you greatly in this life, especially in regard to your spiritual development. If you have difficulty completing long-term goals, then seek out ways to move beyond this resistance. An ability to be focused and disciplined in spiritual growth is essential. Let your Syrian forefathers guide you. Here's the commentary. This card refers to the long-term goals of the Syrians who assisted Earth in the ancient days and their ability to see far into the future as to what a new planet, a new Earth, would need in its development. Many of their selfless goals to help the evolution of Earth have been carried on for millennia. Galactic species must have this long-range vision in order to perpetuate life, nurture it, and ensure its survival through the challenging periods of its evolution. If you have pulled this card, it is possible that you have a connection to a lifetime during this ancient Syrian era when they were assisting with the evolution of Earth through genetic projects, spiritual teaching, and protection of the new humans. It could also mean that you have the skill of long-range vision, being able to see a project through its fruition over the long term. Conversely, if that is not a skill that you are aware of within yourself, this card may be challenging you to begin to develop the skill as a means to discipline yourself, focus, and complete the goals you have for this life. Look at the surrounding cards for further clues. So when we see that, I usually just say, think about all of the card readings that we've had this morning so far. Know that rushing the completion of a project is less important than being focused on the task and carrying it out with integrity, commitment, and thoroughness. Only then can you discharge the energy and the responsibility of the promise you have made to fulfill the goal. I think that's a great reminder for all of us sitting here. Long-term goals, number 45, serious of the past. Okay. What did I do with all those cards? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I put them over there. Okay, Amy D. Amy D is new with us and has not had a reading yet. So my choice for you, Amy, I believe you need a Wisdom of the Oracle. Let's do that. Wisdom of the Oracle is a deck of cards by Colette Baron Reed. And I have a lot of her decks, thanks to Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, who loves to send them to me. And so this is probably the longest deck in use for us, that and Spirit Animals. And so I love these cards, right? They have a lot of wisdom. Oh, my dear. Well, you have a veritable story that dropped out here. So Amy D., what you have is three cards. Now in this deck, there are upright cards and then there are upside down cards. When the upside down cards come up, they are in protection, right? So they give us some protection information. So the first card that I pulled for you was upright and it is called Milk and Honey, the card 51. And for you, I also got an upside down card called Soulmates. So upside down, but here's what it would look like. Card number 41. So 51 and 41. And then the last card was New Life. You see what I mean? This is a story. There's a story going on here. So, and that one was upside down. So card number 39, which is a 12, which is a 3. So you have a 6, you have a 5, and you have a 3. So let's take a look at the story for you. And I will read them sequentially the way that they pulled out. So the first one was Milk and Honey, card number 51, which is a 6. And it says, the essential meanings, the taste of prosperity, opportunities born of authenticity, nurturing abundance, trusting that your needs will be met. The Oracle's message says you've entered a sweet time in your life. enjoying the land of milk and honey that everyone wants to experience. It's an interlude that feels more languid than ambitious when all your senses are awake to the unlimited possibilities in the universe. These times are precious and only come when you're in the authentic zone, in your authentic zone, wearing the world as a loose garment, not wanting, yet able to be nourished in ways both tangible and subtle. Abundance is an energy that you are a living part of. All your needs are being met. You are given the gift of nourishment in every form. Now, the next card came up upside down, and it is the soulmates card, right? Soulmates. And let's see what that card brings in protection. Whoa, went way too far back. So this one in protection says, the essential meaning of the card, by the way, is harmonious partnerships, love, friendship, companionship, a relationship fostering personal growth. And in protection, it says, an important relationship brings you to your knees. This is the kind of soulmate who comes with a powerful gift. Your patterns and all your old stories that don't serve your well-being enter into this dynamic so you can heal them. This person is called to a sacred task to help you learn, even if it seems uncomfortable, sticky, or even inconceivable. The question is not, why did he or she do this to me, but rather, what is the gift in this? Look into the mirror, you will only be changed for the better. Somebody having an effect on you for sure that is leading you to new life. Nice little fairy stretching and growing, right? Card number 39, a couple cards back here. Also in protection though. And the essential meaning of that card is the birth of new ideas, growth, opportunities, a breath of fresh air, life renewing itself. Here's the protection message. You must acknowledge your inexperience and gently allow yourself to be like the delicate new bud opening. It's okay to admit that you may not know something. You are at the beginning of things and haven't yet hit your stride. Be immersed in the newness of it all and don't try to rush the learning process. New life has its own timetable for maturity. Be here now. Life loves you. Nice story, right? Starting out with abundance and prosperity, leading you to someone who likely has an impact on your life, Amy, and then leads you to something new, new life. All right, guys. Well, that is it for me this morning. I'm sorry, I don't always have the time to get to everybody, plus do the informational stuff of the day. So Liz and Amy, welcome to our show. And it's great to have you with us. Some of you that have been here forever with me, maybe we can move you up to next week. And that is it. So have a wonderful day. Tomorrow we'll talk about the new moon. And take a look at the chart, take a look at what's possible for us to start anew. Today, the moon, by the way, moved into Libra. Actually, it did that late yesterday and or early morning for some of you on the East Coast. And that means that we're getting prepared today even for that new moon. So start considering what can Libra energy do to help you balance and harmonize in your life, right? What can you start new that helps you bring in that balance? We'll talk more about that tomorrow. All right, everybody, take care. Have a great day. Bye.